You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Made it to a Friday, hour one. It's a meat Friday at that. If you live vicariously through our dining skills, mini meatball minestrone and the Dan Patrick Show pull apart pesto bread coming off the Traeger grill a little bit later on. Come in, stay a while. Thank you for downloading the newsletter, the DP Show newsletter, available daily. And it is daily available for you at 6 Eastern. You sign up on danpatrick.com, enter your email address in the box that slides out in the bottom right corner, and you're good to go, recapping everything that we do on this program daily. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp at danpatrick.com, Twitter handle at dpshow. Every year the NFL puts on a Hall of Fame game. It's the first preseason game from Canton, Ohio. And too bad the name is taken, because it would certainly fit with this weekend's game between the Bucs and Saints, the Hall of Fame game. Tom Brady and Drew Brees. Unprecedented amount of success on the table on Sunday night. Brees noted that the two of them are combined 85 years of age. I have some other numbers here with Brees and Brady. Brady has thrown for over 90,000 yards if you include the playoffs with the regular season. Brees, just over 85,000 yards between them. So they have 176,000 yards of passing. That would mean they have just over 100 miles of passing between them and 1,263 touchdowns. I thought that might be a stat of the day or two. What the heck is going on around here?
Stat of the day, stat of the day. Here comes that what? Stat of the day.
Brady and Brees, they're having fun with it. And two of the most competitive players of all time. And, you know, you look at this game and what it means. We love to look at legacies here. Brady's already the GOAT, but Brees to get another Super Bowl, that'd go a long way. But imagine if Brady would get to another Super Bowl, win another Super Bowl. Let's just, for hypothetical, he's going to have to beat Brees, then probably go to Green Bay and beat Aaron Rodgers, and then he would probably have to beat Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl. So imagine going through that murderer's row if you beat Brees, Rodgers, and Mahomes. And Taylor Heineke, of course, would also be thrown in there as well. But this is an interesting matchup, and we sort of ramp up with the playoff games. You have Saturday Rams-Packers. There's some intrigue there. Ravens-Bills, maybe some snow in there. Sunday, Browns-Chiefs, and then we christen it with the Buccaneers and the Saints. So it worked out quite well, I think, as you're going to ramp up with these games, and then you end with the Hall of Fame matchup between the Buccaneers and the Saints. This program is brought to you by the great folks at Built Bar. We love all 18 of their amazing flavors. It tastes so good, you can't believe it's a protein bar. Go to BuiltBar.com, enter the promo code DP for 20% off. Coming up, we'll talk to the new Texas head coach, Steve Sarkisian, Michelle Tafoya, working that Sunday night game for NBC. She will join us as well. Tony Boselli, he's been a Hall of Fame finalist, and Jags analyst, will get his thoughts on Urban Meyer as the new head coach. And Michael Wilbon from Pardon the Interruption will stop by as well. The Jets have found their new head coach, Robert Saleh. He was with the Niners, defensive coordinator. He is the new head coach. He is considered a CEO-type coach that he does defer to others. You have an offensive coordinator, of course, and you decide what you're going to do with Sam Darnold, but he is a defensive-first head coach, which is interesting. It always happens this way. The guy you had, you go the opposite the next time around. Got an offensive-minded guy, and now we're going to bring in a defensive-minded guy. You got a player's coach, and then you got a guy who's a disciplinarian. One guy has hair, the other guy doesn't have any hair. Maybe that doesn't factor in here as well. But the Jags have hired Urban Meyer. Now he's got to get his general manager there. The Jets have their head coach as well. The Nets sort of gave an update on Kyrie Irving, and that is they don't really have an update on Kyrie Irving. I think this might be COVID-related, or it feels like it's COVID-related, that there might be protocols that he's got to go through before he can come back. Is the NBA involved in this? And I believe that is the case right now. I don't know if Kyrie Irving just checked out and said what happened at our nation's capital troubled him. And then maybe he started to look at the bigger picture. You know, am I just a basketball player? Do I want to be more? I have no idea. I have no idea. Then there was a report that came out that maybe he and KD, there's a little distance in their relationship. There was also a report that he wasn't all in on Steve Nash being hired as the head coach. This might be something as simple, for the lack of a better word, of a COVID-related issue. You know, was he partying, out of mask on, his sister's birthday, and is that what is preventing him from coming back? Also, here was the big topic yesterday. We got done with the show, and then McLovin goes, are the Nets, is this the best three that's ever been on the floor together with the same team? And then all of a sudden, everybody had an opinion on this. And then we took a break, and then we came in this morning, and then we picked up on the conversation again. Here is Jay Williams, the ESPN NBA analyst, on the best trio ever assembled.
If there's anything that should grab Kyrie Irving's attention, it is this trade. This trio is better than the trio that I saw when Kevin Durant went to Golden State, and that's with Klay Thompson, and that's with Stephen Curry.
Wow.
It's better than the trio that I saw with LeBron James and D-Wade and Chris Bosh in Miami. Mm. People are going to ask questions about how do you make it work. Here's how you make it work. Kyrie Irving, move off the ball. James Harden, you are on the ball. James Harden averages around 10 assists per game. If you watched the game last night against the Knicks, Kevin Durant doesn't need the ball in his hands. I think they might be the best assembled in the history of the league.
Okay. This is strong words. Jay, of course, played in the NBA and has been an analyst at the mothership quite some time. He's got his opinion on this. And when you start to look at these trios, it's do they fit together? Because individually, you can say this is as talented as we've seen. But that doesn't always work. It's does it fit? And that's where I have my big questions. Because Kyrie is talented. I mean, he's never won an MVP. He has a hard time staying healthy. You know, he ruined things in Cleveland. He ruined things in Boston. And he may do his best to ruin things in Brooklyn, for all I know. Extremely talented. Maybe the best handle I've ever seen on somebody in NBA history. But I don't know how he fits in. I don't know how Harden fits in. I know Kevin Durant can fit in because he has fit in. And he seems like he has a willingness to, okay, I can get 30 on 16 shots. Because I can go to the line. He plays defense. I'm not worried about KD. I'm worried about the other two here. Because if you start to look at greatest trios in NBA history, what did they achieve? Because I don't know what these three are going to achieve. And if you don't have a title after 2 years, then this has been a failure. You got to get to the NBA Finals. You got to be playing for a championship before I'm going to acknowledge just how great the three are. When LeBron and Wade and Chris Bosh were there, okay, LeBron and Wade, two of the greats of all time. Chris Bosh was a perennial all-star and kind of sacrificed his game for the betterment of making it a lethal trio. You had Boston. You had Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett, and you had Ray Allen. Great players, all Hall of Fame players. They fit together. You can throw in Rondo there as well, the fourth, and he's a Hall of Famer as well. But if you're looking at the big three, the big threes that worked, you know, Rodman, Pippen, and Jordan, it worked. Rodman knew his role, Pippen knew his role. Jordan, of course, did what Jordan always did. You had Kareem, and you had Magic, and you had James Worthy. You know, James Worthy was never unleashed because James Worthy, to me, could have been a 30-point scorer if he wanted to. And you had Magic there and you had Kareem. Kareem wasn't the Kareem that we saw in the 70s, but they played well together because Magic made sure you understood what your roles were. I don't know, like James Harden, is he going to be the guy who says, I'm going to dictate, I'm going to have the ball, Kyrie off the ball, then you have KD, Steve Nash. What role is he going to play in all of this? But when you start to talk about big threes, is it just the talent that we're assessing here? Because if I look at what Jay Williams or listen to what Jay Williams was saying, okay, best trio ever. Harden's won an MVP. KD's won a couple of titles. Harden hasn't won anything. Kyrie won and hit the big shot against Golden State. You know, you can also look at when the Lakers, I mean, somebody brought this up, and I don't think that this is accurate. The Lakers acquired Gary Payton and Karl Malone. They had Shaq and Kobe, but Gary Payton and Karl Malone were not great. They weren't great. At one point, they were the alpha, but, you know, when they got to Payton and Karl Malone, or they got Steve Nash, you know, that they were nowhere near what they were in their prime. So I don't factor that in. And anybody who factors that in doesn't know what Payton and Karl Malone were like when they went to the Lakers there. So if you're going to have your trio here, I mean, I'm curious if people go, hey, this is the best trio that I remember. You're going to base it off results. We don't have the results with the Nets. But if you say talent level wise, okay. I mean, it's an interesting discussion. But trios sometimes work and sometimes they don't work. I would still take Golden State with KD, Steph, and Klay and throw in Draymond Green. Like, that's my fourth. I feel pretty confident here. Because even when you had Draymond Green as your third best, they were still pretty good. But I had Klay, no drama. Steph knew that KD was the best player, and KD knew he was the best player. And if he didn't get hurt, they were gonna win another title there. Yeah, McLovin.
You're telling me Curry really knew KD was the best player? Because as I recall, that's not exactly how it was the whole time.
Well, I think Steph Curry shared extremely well there. I think the tension was Draymond Green, and Draymond Green realized that KD was there to win a title and maybe not there for the long haul. I think that's where the friction started, it felt like. Yeah, McLovin.
Why the big three argument seems silly to me is because, like, when LeBron and Wade and Bosh got together, they were all like mid-20s and at their peaks. I feel like this is closer to the old Lakers team because Harden, Kyrie, and KD are not Harden, and they're all in their low 30s coming off surgeries. You know, it feels like they're distressed assets, not like those players at their peak.
KD is still great.
I know, but I'm nervous about the Achilles, you know?
Yeah, well, yes, you have to worry about that. I'm worried about Harden and, you know, is he going to get in shape? And I'm worried if Kyrie really wants to play basketball.
Right. Are those guys the same players they were at 26? That's what I'm kind of worried
about. Yeah. No.
That's why, like, when the Heat got together, everyone's like, they're going to win three titles. Nobody's saying this Nets team's going to win three titles.
And then they didn't win the first year with that group. Yeah, Paul.
You know, it does compare well to the Celtics, like you said. Ray Allen was coming off a season where he's averaging 26 for Seattle, and he was the man. Kevin Garnett was coming off a season where he's averaging 24 and 14 for the Timberwolves, and he was the feature guy. And they're all 30 years old. And Paul Pierce averaged 26 the year before they joined forces.
Yeah.
They were all the alphas of their team. But all three, like McLovin said, were healthy going into that big three run they had.
And I know that we always love to christen what is new. We always love to go, that's the best we've ever seen. You know, because we have short memories. But if you're just saying you put together these three personalities, and I would stress personalities, then I find that really interesting. Because you have three of the most sensitive superstars to play together. And that's going to also, that factors in as well with these guys. You know, they let little things bother them. And I think that's a factor that I don't know how you can measure. But it's going to be an issue with these guys. What is said, whispered, who said it, did they say it, did they mean it? But James Harden didn't show up for training camp. Kyrie hasn't shown up. And KD's coming off the Achilles. I don't like asterisk. I'm going to put a big asterisk next to this one. When we say the most talented trio of all time, I don't like individual. I like team talent. Because we've seen individual talent. And I go back to the Philadelphia 76ers in 1977 when they went against Portland. Dr. J, George McGinnis, Doug Collins, Daryl Dawkins. They had an unbelievable world be free. They had as much talent as you can put on a basketball floor. And they lost to a Portland team that had one superstar in Bill Walton, a very good player in Maurice Lucas, and then a bunch of role players. who knew their roles. Talent is great. Talent always doesn't always win. Yes, Eden.
Did the Lakers win last year because of like great team chemistry or because they had a couple of awesome players?
Well, I think it helps having awesome players, but you also have to have those role players as well. And, I mean, they had drama-free. Mm. Remember Frank Vogel? People forget Frank Vogel. Frank Vogel? Is he going to be able to handle LeBron? Drama-free? And I think that was the key. They just went out there and played basketball. Now, there was drama, but I think they handled the drama really, really well. Yes, McLovin.
Well, the common ingredient is LeBron seems to know how to play team ball. He knows how to be a co-superstar.
Well, it starts with him. I don't know who it starts with in Brooklyn.
KD?
I don't think so. I think it has to start with Harden. Harden's going to have the ball. He's going to have the ball. And Kyrie's got to be the off guard. And then you have KD in there. And I know people brought up the Celtics. And, you know, in a different era, okay, but not in this era. Like Bob Cousy, Bill Sharman, Bill Russell, no, that doesn't work. They won a lot of titles. It doesn't work. That they were great team players because I could put in seven other guys, Sam Jones and Casey Jones and Tommy Heinsohn, but no, they don't factor in. I mean, these are MVP guys that were, you know, Harden has been in the MVP conversation, top five, I think, the last 6 years. And KD has won the MVP. Yes, McLovin.
Is there any fear as a Brooklyn resident that this is all going to blow up in 2024? We're going to look back as the worst, you know?
Sure. I have to start with Kyrie. Like, I don't know where he is, like mentally and physically. And maybe this is just COVID related. But I go back to when I first called out Kyrie. You got to let Steve Nash know where you are. You want to be a professional. You want to talk about others being a professional. Let your coach know where you are, not your teammates. Let your coach know. And then, you know, is this COVID related? Is he being irresponsible? You know, that's where it gets dangerous. This is a guy who wanted this. He got KD. Now, here we go. They didn't want to go to the Knicks. They went to Brooklyn. He got what he wanted. And he's not even there right now. And I think when James Harden makes his debut, I don't think Kyrie is going to be on the floor at that time. He may be in COVID protocol here. I mean, at least show up and watch the game. How about being on a Zoom call and watch the game as opposed to being at a birthday party or some political Zoom party or meeting that he was involved in? Yes, McLeod, or Paulie.
I think the scariest thing I read yesterday, I think we talked about it, that all three of these guys, after next season, could get out. Yeah. All their contracts opt out by their choice.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So you got 2 years. You're on the clock. 2 years. Got to make it work. And can you make it work? It's interesting, though, that you have this type of talent and you're asking it to work together. Because it's going to have an all-star game feel to it, where it's going to be clumsy at times. There'll be times when they're unbelievable, but they're not going to play defense. They don't have a rim protector. You know, this is the kind of team that you look at and you go, boy, they're going to be unstoppable. And then you get them into a seven-game series, and then you start to pick them apart a little bit here. But they might be just like James Harden has been his entire career, a great regular season performer. And maybe that's what the Nets turn out to be. Maybe they have magic and make it work, but it's going to start with James Harden because he's going to have the ball in his hands. We'll take a break. Phone calls are always welcome. 877-3DP-SHOW. Say good morning to Peacock. They carry this program all 3 hours. And also our great radio affiliates around the country. Say good morning to those who are listening on Chat Row as well. 21 after the hour, just getting started on this Friday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Seton, I checked the mail yesterday, and you know what I didn't get yesterday?
Built Bars?
I did not. Mm. Mm-hmm. No tracking number, no nothing.
Dang.
Is this because everybody is ordering Built Bars, therefore I can't get Built Bars?
There's been a rush.
Did I do
on supply?
Too good of a job with Built Bar?
It's possible.
Darn it, I did it again. Oh, you're going to love Built Bars. And he put it this way. Fritzy doesn't eat anything that we have around here. Normally doesn't eat breakfast or lunch. But all of a sudden, he has stumbled upon Built Bars, and he thinks that he's, I don't know.
It's possible the studio address could have been rerouted elsewhere.
No. That would go to Paulie's house.
Traditionally.
Low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. If you want to lose weight, you want to make sure they eat something that tastes good, and it's good for you. So it's not like a cardboard snack or, you know, protein bars. Sometimes they taste like sawdust. Not the case with Built Bar. They may be too good. BuiltBar.com, promo code DP. Get 20% off your first order. So DP is the promo code, 20% off. Built Bar, why not eat something that's good for you that actually tastes good? Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at FoxSportsRadio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. Sunday's game will be Tom Brady's 16th divisional playoff game in his career. Drew Brees will be the 15th different quarterback he's faced in those 16 games. Boy, what a luxury to have the same quarterback year in and year out for over a decade, obviously, more than almost two decades in New England. And just to have, you know that you have that constant. And it starts with your quarterback, and to be able to have that. And here he is, that he's been in 16 of those games, and he's going to face 15 different quarterbacks. Pretty amazing. All right, McLovin, you got a poll question for me today.
Yes, we have an overall quarterback poll. But before I give you that, an individual one. Lamar Jackson, does the snow help, possible snow, help or hurt him?
How much snow?
So here is the headline. Ravens Bills forecast looking dicey. Lake effect snow could fall in Buffalo during games. So they have no idea, because I guess the lake is what causes the snow. I have no idea what's going on there, but he's from Florida. He's never played a snow game in his life.
I think once you get out there and start playing, then it's fine. But this is a running team, and Buffalo, I don't think, has been very good against the run this year. I would think for a run-heavy team, it's paramount that they get out to a lead. And if they do, then you continue to have that ability to run the football. That's your game plan. I'm going to say the snow will help him.
Can you imagine trying to tackle him? He's hard enough to tackle.
Yes.
In the open. Okay.
Because I always say, when people say, oh, you know, when you're playing in conditions like that, if I know where I'm going and you have to try to figure out where I'm going, and then you throw snow in there, so I have snow on my side that I know where I'm going to go. I know what I'm going to be doing. Now you have to try to stop me and my talents, and you have to factor in the weather conditions as well. So I always look at the offense having the advantage there.
But he's one, Lamar was talking, and it's like he's a Florida guy. Like, the snow totally freaked him out. He's like, I don't know what's going on. But I think it'll be fine. Okay, the real poll that we put up is, which QB would you most like to see win a Super Bowl this year? And we're throwing all eight in there. Jared Goff, Aaron Rodgers, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, or Drew Brees. Who are you rooting for if you don't have a team in?
So if you don't have a team in the playoffs, which quarterback would you like to see win a Super Bowl this year? I mean, I'd like to see all of them win a Super Bowl. Rodgers needs one more, I think, to go along with the most talented, you know, the label most talented quarterback of all time. I think it would help having two Super Bowls. Mahomes, if he gets another one, at that age, Brady getting one more, he doesn't need it, but if he went through Brees and Rodgers and Mahomes to get it, that'd be, I mean, there would never ever be a conversation on who might be better than Tom Brady. Brees getting another one as well is pretty big. Baker Mayfield, nah. I mean, as much as I like the Browns, I can't take more endorsements, more commercials with Baker if he wins a Super Bowl. Because you know what? Somebody, he may all of a sudden be in those State Farm commercials or Progressive or whatever, the Geico or something. I don't know. Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and then Jared Goff going back to the Super Bowl. I don't know. I guess Aaron Rodgers, because I think he's so talented to not to only have one Super Bowl. If it's all said and done and he only has one, then I think that's a shame. Yeah, Paul.
My snarky side wants Rodgers to get it. He's up on the podium. There's Jordan Love behind him. They used a first-round draft pick on a quarterback. My snarky side wants Rodgers.
Yeah, McLeod.
I kind of want Baker Mayfield just so he can give the middle finger to all his critics, because he already enjoys doing that. Can you imagine the turnaround reputation-wise for him? You're right. I understand the ads.
I think the Rodgers middle finger might be bigger. Because remember all the things that came out? Like, it felt like it was once a year there was something about Rodgers. Remember, he was not considered a top 10 quarterback in August. And I said to Paulie, stop giving me these lists because they're stupid.
There was a lot of them.
But for anybody to think, unless they were doing it for a hot take, I have no idea why, but to say that he's not a top 10 quarterback was crazy.
He only threw 26 touchdowns last year. That's like, last year was not good. And it wasn't his fault, but...
Okay, maybe that year he was not a top five quarterback, but to say he's not a top 10 quarterback?
No, I wouldn't do it, but I understand they were looking at the progression.
So based off of that, then Jameis Winston had a better year because he threw for 5,000 yards and over 30 touchdowns.
Well, you yourself were a critic of the Packers last year. You said that was a phony 13-3.
It was.
Everyone thought Matt LaFleur just wants to run it, and they're going to become the Titans. You know, where with like, and Rodgers was going to be Ryan Tannehill.
He had 26 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. I don't know if they turned him loose. And that was, to me, part of the problem. Because their draft was basic. It was based off being another San Francisco 49er team. They wanted to mirror the Niners. And they drafted a fullback, another running back in there. Didn't draft a wide receiver. So I don't put this at the feet of Aaron Rodgers. I put this at feet of management there. Yes, Paul.
Aaron Rodgers actually threw more passes last year. He had 526 attempts this year. That's the lowest attempts for Rodgers in the past 10 years in a 16-game season. But he still had 4,300 yards and 48 touchdowns.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's a quiet 48.
No one's talking about it.
No. Yes, Eden.
Comeback player of the year?
No.
Question mark?
I was, okay. How about this? Can Kyrie Irving win comeback player of the year?
What's he coming back from?
I don't know, but I just wondered that last night. Because you know, I'm watching, I think I'm watching Dallas play and against my Hornets. And it just came to mind. I'm like, you know, when Kyrie comes back.
Wait, from what, like from Mars?
Can he? Well, I don't know if he believes in Mars.
Oh, but he believes in 3 Marses, I think.
But could he be comeback player of the year?
Isn't yes. comeback player of the year from last year's performance? Can you come back from something that happened this year? I know he's out last
year. Sure, why not? Yes.
Like come back mid-season comeback?
How about just come back? You know? That's it. No.
Comeback player.
Just be the comeback player.
The please come back player.
Yeah. No awards, but just come back. That's all. That's all we're asking. All right. So are you going to go with the quarterback? Yeah.
And you know who doesn't win this poll? Nobody thinks Patrick Mahomes needs this. Everyone's like, he's the young goat, whether he wins or not.
It feels like he's going to get one every 3 years. Like, come on, Mahomes. Leave some extras for us. John in Pennsylvania. Good morning, John. What's on your mind today?
Good morning, guys. Hey, 6'2", 240. I'm a little COVID fat. But
aren't we all?
I know, right? I'm going with Drew Brees, but that's not why I called.
Okay.
But I'd love to see Drew get one because he doesn't have any MVPs and Rodgers has a few. Why I called, Dan, was you turned me on and it was delightful. I got home last night.
Wait, hold on. Hold on, John. Hold on. You got to be a little more specific than I turned you on.
And it was delightful.
And it was delightful.
Yeah, I know. Maybe I could have phrased that.
Let's try it again. John in Pennsylvania joins us. Hey, John, what's on your mind today?
Good morning, Dan.
Hey.
6'2", 240.
Okay.
So you turned me on to cereal, and I got home last night, and I And thank you to Seton for the recommendation, too, because I got home last night and crushed a bowl of Fruity Pebbles, and it was so good that I had to double down. And I went for another bowl of Fruity Pebbles. My girlfriend has a 16-year-old daughter. She can crush three boxes of them in a week. And I haven't had a bowl of cereal in, like you said yesterday, maybe 10 or more years. But, man, some Fruity Pebbles and just sit on the couch, and I had the house to myself, and I was just chilling, and like that first bowl was delightful, so much so that and then I took a nap and it was great, and it's all because of you.
Well, thank you, John.
A little bit to Seton. Well, no, thank you, Dan.
Thank you, John. All right. I'm glad I turned you on. You know, it's not the first guy who's ever said that to me.
That's very true.
Yes. Yes. And it was delightful. Do you realize what Bob is going to do with that? Bob, who does all of our openings, who does such a great job. It just put it on a tee for him there. Yeah, McLevin.
Did you guys think he was talking about the podcast Serial? That's what I thought. I'm like, Serial, that was 3 years ago. What are you doing, dude?
Yeah, I mentioned yesterday that I had cereal this week. I haven't had cereal, bowl of cereal, in over a decade. And for some reason, I went into the pantry and it was staring at me. And I just said, Honeycomb? I'm home, and I grabbed the box and had two bowls. Honeycomb. Yeah, Paul.
I got a note from my psychologist professor that I know, and he said the reason people who haven't had cereal, one of the reasons, enjoy having a bowl of cereal after a long drought of not having it, because it reminds you of your childhood. It reminds you of days with your younger family.
No. It had nothing to do with that.
He says it absolutely does.
He doesn't know. No, he doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. It's not like I went, you know, I'm
Did I hit a nerve? Are you going to cry?
No, that's just it. That if I was reminiscing about my childhood, that I would cry.
Could it be subconscious that you enjoyed the bowl of cereal and sitting there?
Just because he has this diagnosis doesn't mean it's right, Paulie. Like, you don't always trust what your doctor tells you. Got a little sensitive there. It had nothing to do with
awfully
me.
Awfully defensive. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
No, but Paulie kept coming back, and I'm like, no, Paul.
He just sent me another note that said, when people are defensive about their child. No, he didn't send that.
If it brings back childhood memories, we had crappy cereal growing up. So if it brought back memories, my mom would put water into the milk to make the milk go around. I was drinking 2% before there was 2%.
That's a little sad, a little diluted milk.
Yes. My mom would make things go around, and we had six kids. God love her. We'd have ketchup, and we'd go, we're out of ketchup, Mom, and she would pour water in the top of the ketchup. And you'd swirl it around, and then you'd throw it on your French fries or tater tots. No, it didn't bring back memories of my childhood. But now this did. Yes, McLeod.
I think we're burying the lead here. Paulie's finally getting help. This is great.
Well, he doesn't listen to the therapist.
Oh, no.
He has a friend who's a therapist.
Oh, a friend.
Yes.
A friend who he pays $200 an hour to help him with his clear emotional stuntness.
I think we're up against a break.
Yeah. Are you in therapy?
No, I never have.
Okay.
I've thought about
you
that.
You should try it.
I thought, though, because
might want to consider.
I have the feeling that if I go, I'm never getting out. Like, where I'm not going to be one of those, you know, 3 months and then, like, it's clean up on aisle five, everything's better. Well, I have the feeling that it probably, I'm sure it would do some good.
Yeah. Yeah. But you have to be ready for it. If you go kicking and screaming or you're sort of going into it, then it never works.
I read a story recently, about a year ago, that you can't self-analyze yourself, if that's a phrase. Like, you can't, you need someone else to tell you, help you think about things from you. Like, if something bothers you from your childhood or you got something that's...
You mean cereal?
Anger issues or cereal or whatever it means. Like, sometimes you could think, well, I'm upset because of my dad died when I was a kid, or I'm upset with that because of something that happened to me in high school. That it's not possible to self-analyze.
No, we think we can, but my problem was I kept asking... The first time I went to therapy, I kept asking the therapist questions. And he said, no, I ask you questions. And I said, is this a conversation? Because I didn't know. And I'm used to sitting down asking questions, and it didn't go well. And so I had to go to another therapist there. But I had to learn to not ask any questions, because he would ask me questions, and then I would ask him a question. Because he's Like, I wanted to know about him. And he said, no, that it doesn't work that way.
And then you'd throw it to a video clip, which is really weird, like a Pistons highlight. That's bizarre. That's not going to help, Dirk. From your SportsCenter days, you're so used to throwing it to...
40 minutes and 40 seconds, and Todd is finally had
But if you tell the therapist, and that made it 5-2 Blue Jackets, he's like, what? I want to know about the cereal kid thing. While you didn't you like the cartoons and Woody Woodpecker and Bugs Bunny with your cereal? No? What happened to you as a kid?
Are you
diluted milk and ketchup? You can't keep saying, and that's a double. Two runs scored, 6-3, Houston. You can't. That doesn't make any sense.
All off one bowl of cereal.
Oh, look who has four guests booked today.
Whoa, on a Friday.
Friday, Fritzy.
Tell me about your relationship with your uncle. I'd rather tell you about that triple that knocked in two. Let's go to it. Now
you know
it's
what?
9-3 Indians.
I'm kind of hoping Steve Sarkisian cancels here coming up top of the hour. Yeah. Maybe Michelle Tafoya gets called into a meeting, can't join us, talk about Buccaneers Saints.
Having trouble talking about my feelings, we'll explain.
We'll take a break. Play of the day up next here on the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Oh, my God.
The play. The play is called play. Of the day.
Runner left, I got it.
Check this out.
That's a lot as well offensively. Nice quick move on the oh my goodness. Ooh. Jokic.
Wow.
Just schooling the rookie here. And again, we talked about Wiseman not having a lot of on-court time here. Look at the quick move here by the Joker to go baseline.
Joker threw down a reverse dunk on the rookie James Wiseman, NBA on TNT. The courtesy there. Gave him a little taste of his own medicine. Wiseman is tied for fourth in the NBA and leads all rookies with 24 dunks. Nuggets beat the Warriors last night by 10. That's your play of the day. Play of the day is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the sprinter van that you could win. Fox Sports Radio's ultimate tailgate rig sweepstakes. To enter, get official rules, visit foxsportsradio.com, danpatrick.com by January 24th. Mercedes-Benz vans. During the commercial break, we were wondering about how many quarterbacks have thrown for more than 40 touchdowns and fewer than 10 picks in a season? Because I wanted to see what Aaron Rodgers has done. You know, they had this preseason list, and I think he was not in the top 10 amongst quarterbacks. In the last 3 years, or last 2 years, 2018 and 2019, 2020, 99 touchdown passes, 11 interceptions. 99 and 11.
Stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day. Here comes that what? Stat of the day.
All right, McLovin, you want to try this? Quarterbacks who've thrown for more than 40 touchdowns and less than 10 interceptions in a season.
Well, I don't think I have it right at all, but the two record years, the Brady 50 TD season and the Manning 55 TD season, were those two that jumped to my head.
Anybody else want a piece of this?
Also, I was wondering, one other guy, did Matt Ryan get in there in his MVP year?
Ooh.
That was the other guess.
Okay.
And
right.
Other than that, Aaron Rodgers.
Pauly, how many quarterbacks are in the 40 less than 10?
Two. Tom Brady did it once in 2007, 50 touchdowns, 8 picks. Aaron Rodgers has done it 3 times, including this year.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Peyton never did?
No.
Man, that's impressive. Russell Wilson Jr. III is not...
He's usually like 35 and 11.
Oh, okay.
35 and 8.
And Drew Brees. I didn't think it was Drew Brees, but you thought Drew Brees might be a candidate for that.
Yeah, Rodgers is just... Now, he was criticized because, you know, that he'll throw the ball away, you know, that he doesn't throw, you know... Like, it's so weird. It's once a year it feels like a former player says something about Aaron Rodgers, or there's a whisper about Aaron Rodgers, not a team player... didn't like what Mike McCarthy was calling, changed the play at the line of scrimmage, and then all of a sudden it goes away. When Rodgers plays well, then it goes away. I haven't heard it this year. I haven't heard anything about Aaron Rodgers. Remember, oh, he's not a leader. He's distant. He's aloof. Okay. I mean, I listen to all of this. I just know when he gets on the football field, there is nobody that I've ever seen who makes the game look easier. When he's playing at his peak level, MVP level, nobody makes the game look easier. And that includes Elway, Montana, Johnny Unitas. You can throw in every Patrick Mahomes, every single one of them. Does that mean that Aaron Rodgers is the most talented quarterback to play the game? No. Because I don't even know how you factor in what is talent. Like, talent to me with a quarterback, I assume everybody has a pretty good arm to play the position. Now, mentally is what I want to know. Because I think so much of that position is about the mental approach, how you prepare, how you process information in real time, what happens after an interception, what happens in a two-minute drill. Like, those are the things that are so important to you being one of the greats of all time. If you look at all of these players that we talk about, greats of all time, you know, Montana leads that two-minute drive against the Bengals, hits John Taylor for the touchdown pass. They used Jerry Rice as a decoy. Elway with his great drives that he would have to get into the Super Bowl. Like, those moments that you have where you go, he's going to win the game. He is winning the game. I don't know how you factor in greatness there as far as, boy, he's got that. It's when it happens, you see it, you realize it. And there are very few quarterbacks who are on that list that make it look easy. And Rodgers is right there with every one of those quarterbacks, if not better than. Yeah, Paul.
All right, here's another stat.
All right.
Who has the most 40-plus TD seasons as a quarterback? I'm going to give you four names. Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers. The most 40-plus touchdown thrown seasons as a quarterback. What's the name that you would first guess?
I'm not going to give you the name I'd first guess. I would say Drew Brees. Yes, McLevin.
I would say the way Paulie's setting it up, and he's clearly on an Aaron Rodgers kick this morning, it's Aaron Rodgers.
That's correct.
Based on Paulie's.
Okay.
I usually do things. I usually come up with trivia questions that back my point. Aaron Rodgers has 340-plus touchdown seasons. Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, and Tom Brady each have two.
Okay. All right.
But somehow others are chosen as the best ever.
What, McLaren?
Is it Mahomes, like, now considered the new Rodgers? Like, he's the best, most talented quarterback, where Rodgers used to be the most talented.
Yes.
In a funny way, yeah.
But Rodgers is your MVP.
Right. I'm saying, like, Mahomes has that, like, that arm talent or whatever you were talking about. Like, Mahomes can do anything Rodgers can do.
Rodgers had 10 more touchdown passes than Patrick Mahomes did this year.
Right, but there seems to be like, everyone thinks that Mahomes is so talented, though, which he is.
Oh, no,
he does crazy things.
No, he is. He plays the position the way Rodgers has played the position, and he can take it to another level. I mean, Mahomes can be greater than Aaron Rodgers when it's all said and done. All right, coming up, new head coach at Texas, Steve Sarkisian, Michelle Tafoya working the sidelines for Brady Breeze Sunday night, Tony Boselli on the Jags, and Michael Wilbon stops by. One more item in the first hour, it's Discover. Something amazing. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year automatically. No limit on how much you can earn. How amazing is that? In fact, it's even more amazing because of all the places where Discover is accepted. Over 99% of the places in the United States that take credit cards take Discover. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing the word yes more often. You can learn more at discover.com/yes. 2020 Nielsen Report Limitation. Supply.